If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to turn. I'm just going to read one brief scripture in Matthew. Again, returning to Matthew chapter 5. Looking at verse 9 this morning. And Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Amen. Before we go any further, let's just bow our heads one more time together. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray this morning that it would come alive, that it would leap forward from your wonderful love letter to us, Lord, that it would impact our hearts and our minds. God, that you would change us, that you would touch our hearts, that you would change our hearts, that you would touch our minds and change our minds, God. We ask that your Holy Spirit would speak this morning to us, that we would leave different than we came, that we would experience you in a new way, and that your word would take hold of our hearts. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. We live in a world at war, really. Not just actual war, but a world of conflict. It's conflict all around us. It seems like the general mood of our world is anger and is disagreement. And it is everybody in their camps, if you know what I mean, right? Everybody, there is this great division. And all throughout, in just about every area of your life, people are camped out, and they're in these camps to go to war with people who are in a different camp and who disagree in even the slightest little bitty ways. And I'm not a tremendous fan of social media, though it seems like almost a necessity to participate in that world. But the craziest thing I have seen is seemingly innocent posts on social media that when you click on the comments, it becomes a train wreck. You know what I'm talking about? This is the most entertaining but also frightening glimpse at the world today is the comment section of anything. You can say something as simple and innocent as, "Whataburger is the greatest burger." There we go. I said it, okay? You could say something as simple as that and someone is going to claim that you then hate any competitor of that. But no, I just said I loved something. I didn't say anything about hating. And then those type of posts, as innocent and as simple as they are, immediately start causing division. You can't claim to love anything without someone then saying, "Well, then therefore you hate this." Like, you know, I've been a Ford guy for most of my life. That doesn't mean I hate the Chevys or the Chevy people. In fact, I'm driving one for the first time in my life. But, you know, just to say I'm a Ford guy, most people go, "Okay, that's okay. We could still get along." But there's a certain segment that would go, "Well, then you hate Dodge people." Maybe a Chevy Dodge Ford guys can get together. We can team up on the Dodge guys. I don't know. No, I'm not going to do that in here. We're just in complete chaos and conflict. And unfortunately, it's going to get worse because we're in an election year. 2020, I just removed 1,000 people off of my social media. Anybody that wasn't a blood relative that wanted to see my puppy or my babies, you know, my babies, they weren't babies, my children, I said, "This is for siblings and cousins," and everybody else is just going to go because I couldn't take seeing people so defending their politics and their beliefs to cause division amongst people that we loved. And I just decided I don't need to know what camp they're in because I just want to love them. I just want to love people. And I've slowly started coming out of my social media, you know, dark ages to invite people again into my life. But I just decided I'm just opting out of that one. There's political conflict all around us. There's war in Russia. There's war in Israel. This weekend, the U.S. hit over 100 targets in airstrikes. I'm sure you're seeing the news. And that's just the ones we hear about. If you follow the UN or the Geneva Academy that records this information, they say there's over 110 armed conflicts currently going on in the world. And most of them we never hear about. They're in far reaches of Africa and they're warlords fighting and we don't talk about them. But there's war all over conflict, all over. And in our worlds around us, we're not exempt from any of it. We're involved in personal conflict. We're involved in relational conflict. We're involved in business conflict. And we're involved in marital conflict. It's just conflict all around us. Conflict is actually the norm, isn't it? The absence of conflict is not normal. Peace is not the norm anymore. Conflict is the norm. And we've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount, and in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is calling His followers to live radically different than what the norm of society was, to step out from that norm and reclassify what the norm is supposed to be for believers. And then we get to this, and he goes through all of these that they don't seem normal, do they? They don't. They don't seem to be like, this is what we would say the average person in the world is. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Like, no, that's not a norm anymore. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the poor in spirit. These are not culturally in our world today norms, but Jesus is calling the church to be fundamentally different from society and say, this is what you are supposed to look like. And then we get to this radical statement. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. And the word peace is not an unusual word in the Christian world, right? Or in our faith. All throughout the Bible, we see scriptures and talking about peace. But this word right here, peacemaker, is only used one time in this setting right here by Jesus. Nowhere else throughout the Bible is it recorded right here. It is someone who actively makes peace. The New Living Bible says it this way, blessed are those who work for peace. A peacemaker, what we're called to be, is someone who is actively trying to, number one, to reconcile people to God, number one, but also to reconcile people to each other. See, when number one job of a peacemaker, because you have to start with your relationship with God, is to assist people in reconciling with God. And we're not going to talk a whole lot about that this morning. Our first message from this pulpit of the year, we went in depth about this when we talked about being an ambassador for Christ and the ministry of reconciliation. You're like, well, why do people need to be reconciled? Why does any relationship need to be reconciled? Because the relationship has been broken. The relationship has been damaged. And our relationship with God, sin damaged that. Sin broke that relationship between God and man. And we then have to be reconciled back to God through faith in the work of Jesus. And it is our duty as Christians to then be ambassadors, to be the mouthpiece and the representative for Christ. You've heard it said that we're the hands and feet of Jesus. We're His ambassadors. And so step one in being a peacemaker is knowing, first of all, that peace yourself. You can't go make peace and create peace and bring peace if you don't have that peace yourself. And when you have been saved, when your relationship with God has been reconciled, personally, you are now at peace with God. Your relationship is at peace with God. Not only that, but you have the God of peace with you. Paul said it really interesting in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Some translations would say it transcends understanding. It's beyond the comprehension of our understanding and knowledge. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when you have been saved, when your relationship, your personal relationship has been brought back into right standing with God, now you have the peace of God. And that peace guards your heart, and it guards your mind. But then he says it this way in verse 9. He says, and the God of peace will be with you. So the peace of God is with you. And that's one thing to have peace. But then he says, and the God of peace will be with you. You can't have the peace of God without having the God of peace. We want to have the benefits of the relationship without the relationship. If you want the peace of God, you must have the God of peace within you. You must have accepted His salvation. You must have possessed that faith. You must have confessed that faith. You must have been reconciled with Him. And then you get the God of peace. And He brings the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and it guards your heart and your mind in Jesus. And then, once we have been reconciled, then we become ambassadors. Then we become those who are peacemakers, and we begin helping other people be reconciled in their relationship with God. And beyond that, then we get into the ministry of reconciliation within people. And number one is that we have to be reconciled to people. Us personally, if we have relationships that are damaged, relationships that are broken, we must be reconciled. And we also must help others in their relationships. And in a conflict that we're not a part of, be reconciled. How do we live differently? What is this Jesus calling us to live differently? How do we live differently than the world? And how do we live differently than the culture? We seek peace. We seek peace, and we seek reconciliation. We seek harmony, and we seek wholeness in relationships. And that is so fundamentally different from the world of conflict around us. Being a peacemaker. And I know when we talked about meekness, we have this incorrect idea of what meekness is that meekness is a doormat and meekness is weakness. And I think in peacemaking, we have the same kind of incorrect thought process. And being a peacemaker doesn't mean that you're just an easygoing person. It doesn't mean that you seek peace at any cost. It doesn't mean, it's not somebody that just avoids trouble at any cost. It's not an appeaser. There are certain things that cannot be compromised, even for the sake of peace. And peace is not the absence of war. That's a truce, right? That we can call a ceasefire, and that's not actually peace. That's just a truce. Real peace, true peace, is reconciled relationships. We have two parties that are at war and at conflict. We can go time out, and we can call a time out, a ceasefire, a truce, and there's no peace in the midst of that. There's just an agreement to stop fighting. Real peace is when relationships are reconciled to one another. And a peacemaker is somebody that is actively working towards peace. Working towards peace. You know, the meek that's mentioned in the Beatitudes, this is somebody who does not return evil for evil. It's somebody that has that self-control. They don't return evil for evil, but peacemakers are ones that set good where evil was, where establish peace in times of war. And the world needs peacemakers. Amen? The world needs peacemakers. The kingdom of God needs peacemakers. Your community needs peacemakers. Your family probably needs a peacemaker in the midst of just the dynamic of relationships there. And we are called to be peacemakers. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, strive for peace with everybody. Strive for peace. What does that mean? That means you're pursuing it. You see, that's an active word. That's a very active word. We're striving for it. It's almost like this. We're righteous as we were hungering for it. We're thirsting for it. We're working towards it. And he say, strive for peace with everybody. And you say, well, that's impossible to have peace with everybody. Paul said in Romans 12 and 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Is it possible to have peace with every single person? No. What's Paul saying here? As far as it depends on you, he says, you better do your part. Then the rest is in God's hands. But you are called and responsible for your part in every relationship and every conflict, and what you are called to be a peacemaker. maker. And he says, as far as it depends on you, live peacefully. Do your part. So we don't just let sleeping dogs lie. We do everything we can to pursue peace and to maintain peace. Jesus thought this was of utmost importance. It's almost strange the importance he places on this. If you jump just a few verses ahead in verse 23 and 24 of chapter 5 here in Matthew, Jesus says this, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. And first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Do you notice that? How important does Jesus think this is, that we would be reconciled in our relationship? So important that he said, leave God waiting. Notice that? You're there to bring your offering and your gift to the altar, and you have a broken relationship with your brother. And he says, you put your offering on hold. You put the altar on hold. You time out that. And he goes, you leave God waiting. And you go fix your broken relationships first. Do you see how much importance he's placing on this? That we would be at peace with people? That we would, our relationships would be whole? Because he said, leave your worship on hold and go and take care of the relationship. Because the sweetest worship is from a reconciled heart. Worship from a heart that is at peace with God and at peace with other people. And when I'm in conflict with someone, there is this still small voice that whispers in my ear. And it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does, but it's not my conscience, and God gives us those. But this is my sweet wife, and God gave me all three of those. And her voice is, I'll say still and small, but it's not always still and small. But this is, God has given you the Holy Spirit to speak into your life in moments of conflict. And I pray that he's given you a loving spouse to do the same thing. And Lisa has helped me many times. And in the moment, I'm not always feeling the help. She will say, Justin, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed for that person? And I go, don't ask me those questions. I'm mad. And for some reason, I want to be mad. You know what? That's the thing, right? We choose anger. We choose it. And she's, have you prayed for that person? Because it's really hard to be mad at somebody you're actively praying for. That's true. Have you prayed about them? Have you prayed about the situation? Or no. I want to be angry. Maybe beyond that. I think we want to be justified in our anger. And so we have these moments. And my sweet wife is going, hey, honey, have you prayed about that? Have you prayed about them? Have you got to that point? And then we seek out. We stop what we're doing. Jesus said, even if it's in the middle of worship, stop it and go and be reconciled in your relationships. And you be the one actively pursuing. You be the one taking the first step. That's why you're striving for it. You're pursuing it. You're a peacemaker, actively working towards peace. So you be the one to take the first step. And that's hard when you're wronged, isn't it? That's hard when you feel like your anger is justified, your hurt is justified. But he's saying, no. You are the active party here. You're responsible for pursuing the peace. And then we get to the place where beyond just working on reconciling relationships that I am a part of that are broken, we have relationships around us that are broken that we're not necessarily a part of. And we are called to be peacemakers in those as well. And that doesn't mean we're sticking our nose in everybody's business, but still we have a calling to be a peacemaker and to help other people be reconciled. I see a lot of this in my job. I work as a mediator. I'm a middleman between folks building their houses and vendors and subcontractors, and I'm a peacemaker a lot of times. I'm also a marriage counselor sometimes, because building a house is emotionally difficult. And they say it's one of the most stressful things you can do in your marriage. I'm often in the middle of just, I know I had a recent experience with a couple building a house, and we were meeting with a vendor and working through a package, and there was tension because they were told what they envisioned, what they wanted for their house was just not possible. Well, everything's possible. It wasn't possible for the amount of money they wanted to spend. That's the key, right? Everything's possible most of the time. But and there, I mean, I'm telling you, battle lines were drawn. Stormed out of rooms, everybody separated. I mean, it was like it was going to be wartime, and I'm there. It was like, here we go. Isn't it funny that their representative of their builder is the pastor too? Isn't that funny? I'm there. It's like, I'm going to be the peacemaker here. It's like, can we all come back to the table? Can we all get in a room together? And I had to go, hey, I'm your advocate. I work for you, but these folks, I know them. They're good people. And they're not lying to you. They're not trying to rip you off. Like, everything they're saying is true. You know, I'm for you, but also, like, I know their side. Can we all just come? I want you to see their perspective. I want you to see their perspective. Can we come to the table again and talk about a solution? And everybody came together and I said, all right, how can we make this work? What compromise can you make? And what compromise can you make? And we got to the point where this 30% overall increase in the job went down to a 1% increase. It's like, are we livable with 1% of this? And they're like, yes, 1%. Not of the overall, just over this category we were working on. And I said, you know, this is funny. This is, as I've been thinking about what I was going to be preaching today, I was like, that's kind of our calling as peacemakers in the world, right? Is when conflict is going on around us that we're not necessarily a part of, but it's in our world of influence, we're called to step in and bring peace into those situations. But how do we actually view those situations? When there's two people in conflict and going to war around us, what do we become the meme where we grab the bucket of popcorn and go, ooh, yeah, right? You're like, this is going to sit by. This is going to be entertaining. Is that how we view these situations? I should have brought me some actual popcorn up here. Just sat here and popping popcorn. Or when we hear somebody comes to us and starts telling us, do you know what our friend did? What's our response in these situations? Is it, I know he didn't. That's right. Do we start? How do we respond in these situations? And you go, you know, do you start getting worked up too? Well, do you know what I would have done? Oh, he must be crazy. Does she want to die? You know, this is how we get involved in these, and we start spinning them up, and we start feeding the flames of the fire a little bit. When what we should be doing is asking them, have you prayed about this? Have you prayed for that person? Have you thought about why they may have acted that way? You know, I remember my son having some conflict with a kid at school, and I said, son, man, do you have any idea what's going on in his home life right now? I do, because I know his folks, man. Like, I know it doesn't excuse what he's doing. It doesn't justify what he's doing, but it brings some understanding to the table of what's going on. And do you have these moments where you can go, hey, that's a little bit of a peacemaker speaking in to a situation there? I'm sure you've seen Abby running around here on crutches for the last couple weeks, and I'll be praying for her. We're meeting with an orthopedic surgeon in the morning in Fredericksburg, and she's got her MRI results back, and they're not looking too good. Two Sundays ago was her first Sunday here on crutches, and Janet saw her in the back. And if y'all don't know Janet, you should know Janet. I love that lady. She's met her in the back up in the sound booth, and she asked her, she's like, hey, what happened to you? What happened? Why are you on crutches? What happened with your knee? And Abby told her, you know, that a kid kicked her on purpose right, you know, in the side of the knee. And I saw Janet, I saw the expression, you know, because everybody, you hear that story, Janet's jaw tightened a little bit, you know, like, and the deep breath, you know, there's a little bit of anger immediately. You go, somebody did that on purpose to you? And then she said, can I pray for you, Abby? She knelt down, put her hands on her knees, and began to pray. She prayed for healing. She prayed for Abby's knee. And then she began praying for the little boy that she didn't even know. She goes, let's pray for that little boy that kicked you. And just began to pray for him. And I said, man, this is the most beautiful, simplest prayer of planting the seeds of reconciliation and peacemaking into this situation, into Abby's heart and into Daddy's heart, because Daddy wasn't doing too good either. You know, like such a beautiful, it's like she operated so beautifully as a peacemaker in that moment. And that is our calling, is to not flame, you know, fuel the flames of the anger and to fuel the flames of the discord, but to bring peace into every situation. Every one of these Beatitudes comes with a promise. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Jesus said in John 13, he says, they will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. There's something about the way you operate when you're a peacemaker that distinguishes you as a child of God. He says, they're going to know who you are. They're going to know by the way that you love people. I like in Acts where it said of Peter and James and John, it says they knew they had been with Jesus. There was something about them that was different, that was not the norm. And we're called to be different than the norm. It says, others are going to say about you. Other people are going to go, that's a child of God. I think about Janet's not here today. It's like, that's a child of God. Her praying that simple prayer and starting the peace and the reconciling, that's a child of God. With Micah and Abby, there are things that they do that are immediately recognizable as they're my kid or they're Lisa's kid, right? It's going to be like something quick-witted or something hilarious or something like that. And you go, yeah, that's my kid, you know? And they're like, all right, that humor right there, that's a Davis trait. Or they'll do something, you know, amazing in the arts. And I go, that's a Lisa trait right there, you know? Or Micah even walks like me, which is weird because we never had a moment where I taught him how to, like, this is how you walk like a man. I don't know, but Lisa took a picture one time of us walking away. She said, it's so bizarre that he even walks like you. He's recognizable. Many times they are immediately recognizable. People are like, yep, that's his kid. I can see it. And there are attributes that we see in our kids that are so recognizable as coming from us. And as Christ followers, as we are imitators of Christ, we're trying every day to live like him and to be like him. And when we bring peace into situations, when we make peace in the midst of conflict, we are recognizable as children of God. They will be called the children of God. But I also think it means that God will say of you, that's my child. That's the promise there. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. When your kids are doing something bad, not that I'd ever do this, but sometimes, okay, I'm going to be honest up here. Sometimes one of my kids will do something bad and I'll tell Lisa, that's your kid. You ever do that? Yeah, my kid, that's your kid. But then they do something great and they become my kid again. Oh, did you see what my kid did today? You know, it's like every time you have this moment of pride, that's my kid. And you want to call it out and you want to proclaim it, right? All right. Every sporting event we go to in Lano, I see parents wearing their kids' numbers. I see jerseys. There's even a cheer dad out there. I don't know who he is. And it's like, it's Abby's father. You know, it's like, he's got this big pink. Yeah, he sits with you all the time. He's like, they want everybody to know that's my kid. Our Father in heaven, who sees us being peacemakers on earth, working and bringing and reconciling relationships. He's going, yes, that's my kid. That's my kid. He sees us reconciling people to him. He sees us reconciling conflict within our own lives. He sees us assisting other people in being reconciled. And he's up there going, yes, that's my kid. I want everybody to know that's my child, because it's that important to him, because he is a God of reconciliation, and it starts with us being reconciled to him. It starts with us first being reconciled to him. Will you stand with me this morning? If that's not a journey you've started in your life, I would urge you and plead with you today to make those first steps in your relationship with God. You have to possess that faith. You have to confess that faith. You have to open your mouth and speak to Him and call out to Him, and He will never leave you answerless. He will never leave you without coming to you and touching you. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Lord, I love You. I'm so thankful for Your gift of grace that You have given us, Lord. Because I know sin damaged my relationship with You, God. And I know Your grace, the gift of Jesus, Lord, that it was, You gave us the ministry of reconciliation to be made whole again, to be declared righteous in Your name, God. And now You've called us to be that agent of change in the world, to be different from everybody else who sits on the sideline and gets entertained by conflict and sits in the comment section and eggs on conflict and hears about conflict, and we take sides and we get drawn into our camps, and You're calling us to be fundamentally different, to work and weave in every situation and to bring peace and to bring reconciliation, that people would be reconciled to You, that people would be reconciled to each other, God, that we would live in peace, that we would strive for peace. And so help us, because we can't do it without You. We can't do it without Your Spirit living in us. I know it is a fruit of Your Spirit. It is an evidence. It is a byproduct of Your Spirit, God, that we would have love, joy, and peace, and that we would be able to bring it everywhere. Let us cover our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we could walk into situations and bring peace. If there's anybody in this place today, Lord, that needs prayer, I'd ask that You would give them the courage to step forward, Lord, and let us lay hands on them. Let us pray for them and with them, God. And thank You for Your Word and for Your Spirit. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Amen. We're going to ask our prayer team to come while we sing this final song and worship together. If you have any need in your life, we'd encourage you to come forward. Let us pray for you this morning. God bless you.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.